listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Jason teaches on how to pray courageously to God. Here's Pastor Jason.
Well, good morning. You may be thinking to yourself, who's this guy up here? Well, I'm the newest pastor on staff, and I get to serve the youth here, and I'm excited about this new journey that God has given me. And I just want to pause real quick and say thank you to Pastor Ray for giving me this opportunity to be able to speak to you. And I also want to say welcome to everyone who's watching online. And so, who had a great Christmas? Right? Everyone had a good Christmas. But let me ask you, are you kind of excited that it's over? And what I mean by that is because I know you guys ate a lot of food, right? I mean, I know I did. I had a lot of ham. Matter of fact, I've been eating ham for the last 3 days, and I guarantee you today will be the fourth. And so, but I've also had, man, stuffing. I've had mashed potatoes. I had garlic bread. My wife made some brownies, ice cream. I mean, you name it, right? So I'm kind of done with the holidays, and I know you probably are as well. But I want you to take a little side note and just know this, that calories do not count on Christmas, okay? So everything that you ate on Christmas, just wipe it out and know that you're all right? But it starts today. So, but now, here we are. We're approaching January 1st, and this is where all of the new Year's resolutions start knocking on your door, right? And studies have shown that the top three are eating healthier, being more active, and saving money. But studies have also shown that by January 12th, you will give up on your goals. So you have about 14 days to make sure you accomplish all your goals, all right? So, but the question is why? Why are the goals hard? Because eating healthy is hard. No one likes bland chicken and broccoli for every single meal. I know I don't. I like ribs. I like their barbecue sauce dripping down my hand, and I'm going, mmm. And I love the mashed potatoes with it. I love the garlic bread with it. And then, after all of that, I want that big bowl of ice cream of marble fudge to top it off, right? But it's not just because of the temptation. It's because it takes determination. It takes you being having vision to be able to accomplish that. And exercising, it's painful. I have to be very honest with you guys here, all right, that when I see people running in Oregon, they do not look happy. All right? Cheeks are all red. And they're running, and all of a sudden their head goes like this because they see a big old hill that they have to go up to, right? I get tired even driving up the hills, and so they don't look too happy. But it takes perseverance, and it takes pushing through the pain. And then saving money, it's not enjoyable in the present. Why? Because I just like cool stuff. I like to buy new shoes. I like to have maybe some new clothes. I like having cool stuff. Why? Because it's immediate gratification for me. But oftentimes we get impatient because we have a lack of determination. We have a lack of vision. And we let our goals go. And we give in to this and we say, I quit. Well, if you look at the word courageous, it says not deterred by danger or pain and be brave. Meaning to reach your goals in 2020, you're going to need to be courageous. You will need to push through those hard times, the pain, the temptation of the ribs. You're going to need to be courageous in striving for your goals. And when you get to these points, you need to remember the why. You have to remember why you started in the first place. Was it because maybe you had a health scare? Or maybe you want to be a little more active with your family and be outside. Or maybe you need to get out of debt, so you need to spend a little less. Remember the why. However, I want to caution you to not get so focused on your personal goals that you forget about your spiritual goals in 2020. In the same way that we set goals in our life to look better, to feel better, to have more money, we need to make spiritual goals in our life so that we may draw nearer to God. Goals that will make you look more like His image. We need to set spiritual goals for our family. We need to look for ways to invest in God's kingdom and not just our own. A goal that will stretch you and that will cause you to be dependent on God. I often tell my leadership teams to have God-sized dreams. Why? Because I want those dreams to put them on their knees, knowing that only God could answer those dreams, not man or flesh, that only God can answer those. But I want to challenge them to be courageous. I want to challenge them to have a prayer life, knowing that they have to be dependent on God for all their dreams. So I want to encourage you to set a goal to courageously pray in 2020. I do sound like Barbara Walters or whatever her name is, huh? But I want you to courageously pray for the salvation of your friends, the salvation of your family, for people in our church to have a better relationship with God. There's going to be times that these goals will seem impossible. There's going to be times where you're looking at the person that you're praying for and you're saying, man, they look lost. I can never reach them. Well, just remind you about something. All things are possible with God. Some goals might even experience setbacks. God doesn't work on our calendar. Don't look at God as just some genie. There's going to be times where it feels like it may be getting a little worse. There's times that you're going to feel that maybe God isn't hearing you. Keep your focus. God is hearing you. Keep praying. But during those times, a good prayer to get used to is saying, God, what do I need to change through this time? What needs to change about me? Why is this not changing? Am I looking at this wrong? Am I doing something wrong? Reveal to me, God, and speak to me during this time. Do you know one of the things, though, could help push us through during these difficult times is when we find inspiration from other people. You're going to see on the screen, not that, one more. There you go. So, this movie actor is named Chris Hemsworth, and he plays Thor. So, I'm just giving you kind of an example, right? You're sitting in the movie theater, and he comes on the picture. You got your big old bucket of popcorn, and all of a sudden you see those big old guns on his arm. Like, look at those things, man. Like, vein popping out and just... I mean, he looks in shape, right? And all of a sudden, that popcorn you're eating, you're like, oh, man, this isn't very good, right? You're like, man, I'd like to look like him. And all of a sudden, that popcorn goes to the side. Hey, sweetheart, you want this popcorn? And you tell yourself, man, I want to look like that. So what do? You go and say, I'm going to start eating healthier. I'm going to go start working out because I want to be looking like him. And that many times the goals we inspire are through people that we hope to be like. People that have outstanding achievements in their life. There's a mentor of mine that I have watched his life. And I have seen fruits in his life from God. I have seen him during times of hard trials that he believes in the power of prayer. I've seen him many times say, I trust God. What a mentor to look up to. And I've watched this, and I aspire to be like him. And there's times in my life when I'm facing a trial that I'll sit there and say, huh, wonder what he would do during this time. Wonder how he would handle it during this time. because he's inspired me. And sometimes we just need a hero to inspire us to pray courageously. When it comes to a character in the Bible who inspired us to pray courageously, in the face of persecution or circumstances, I think of Daniel. So if you can, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. And this is going to tell us an amazing story of Daniel praying courageously in the face of execution by hungry lions. And I think God has included this story to teach us to pray courageously during times of hard circumstances. But it also teaches us how the power of prayer is powerful when you trust in God. Let's pray. Father, I come to you, and I thank you for the power that comes in prayer. So, Father, we stop right now, and we just ask that your words will be spoken through me, Father. You've already prepared it, so, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will speak through me, Lord, that it will be none of me, but all of you. Father, I ask that you go out and prepare the hearts now, that this message will fall, and that people will leave here forever changed, Father, that it won't just be another Sunday. So, Father, we give this day to you. We give this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be reading in chapter 6 through 11, and some other verses. And this is the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And to give you a little background in this passage is that Daniel, he's about 80 years old. And 60 years before this, Daniel and some of the other Israelites were actually exiled from their home in Jerusalem to Babylon. And during this time, Daniel, he has served very well under all his leaders. He's found favor with all of them. But the big thing is that he's been faithful to God in an ungodly kingdom. And in his 60 years, Daniel has built such a solid reputation of excellence and integrity and credibility. And he's always been respectful. And in chapter 6, it begins with Babylon being overtaken by a new king, Darius the Mede. And Darius is now the third king that Daniel is going to serve under. And when Darius sees Daniel, it's quickly recognized that Daniel is a great man of character. And what Darius's first act is that he puts 120 satraps or officials over all the kingdom. But over those 120 was three high officials. And then of those three, King Darius said, I find favor in Daniel. So that would be like his number two, if you will. And in the exile to Babylon, this was actually prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. And this was due to Israel's unfaithfulness to God. Israel has stopped following God, and they stopped putting God first in their life. And they put themselves as number one. And God said through Jeremiah that the exile would last 70 years. And in Daniel 6, Daniel's been praying for the promise of God to restore Jerusalem, knowing that the time of the 70 years is almost up. Daniel has survived nearly full 70 years. And he's almost died several times because of his faithfulness to God. But Daniel knew God's promises. And when they told him that he could not pray for 30 days, Daniel said, no, I will continue to pray. And he went up to his upper room, and he turned his face towards Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day. The satraps and the other high officials, they didn't like this. They didn't like that Darius was going to put Daniel over all of this. And so they decided that they were going to try to find something on Daniel, but they couldn't find anything on him because he was a man who had a great character. So they decided that they were going to plot on him. They were going to create a malicious, evil plan against Daniel to have him executed. And this is where we're going to pick up in Daniel 6 through 11. I'm going to read some scripture. It's going to be a lot, but we'll get through it, all right? So, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. If we jump down to verse 16, it says, then the king commanded and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. That's just me proving how he found favor. And then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Daniel found himself in a circumstance where courage was required of him to keep praying in spite of his circumstances. And because he prayed courageously, he experienced God's miraculous power and saw the fulfillment of God's promises. We can learn from Daniel's courageous prayer to also be courageous in our prayers. That we can learn what to pray. We can learn how to pray with courage. And why it's so important to set a spiritual goal to pray courageously. As we dig deeper into the story about Daniel to find what he was praying and why did they want to remove him from the picture and what was really at stake as he faced and praying against the persecution. Because when we understand what courageous prayers are made of, we can be specific in our prayers. So let's look at what Daniel prayed. To answer this question, we need to jump down to Daniel chapter 9, 17 through 19. And this starts in the first year of Darius. It says, now therefore, O God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his plea for mercy and for your own sake. O Lord, make your face shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. The first thing that we see in this is that Daniel's prayer put God first. Daniel calls himself a servant of God. That is him recognizing that God is his master. That Daniel put God first in his life. Why is this so important to us? Because that was the reason why they got exiled from Babylon, because they turned away from God. And we may never, ever forget about this, that God must be first in our life. Because to have a courageous prayer, you must have the Lord in his rightful place. He must be first. That when God is first in our lives, he will be there to fight on your behalf during all of your trials, during all your circumstances, he will be there to fight for you. It says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, then he better be first in your life. Because a courageous prayer is one that starts with placing God in the throne of your life. This year, maybe you got to put God first in your life. Maybe you haven't committed your life to God. Let me tell you, this will be the most courageous thing and prayer that you have ever done in your life. And at the end of this message, I will give you that opportunity. Maybe right now you need the answer from where God is calling you. I understand that right about now. I just walked through this. I was on my knees every day saying, Lord, where are you calling me? Where are you bringing me to? I get this. Be courageous. The Lord hears you. Maybe you're asking the Lord, where do I start serving? Lord, how can I help serve the body of Christ a little bit more? And having the thought process of, you know what, I'm not just going to be a consumer, but I'm going to be a contributor. Or maybe you're at that place right now where you're saying, Lord, I want to help, but I don't know what my gifts are. Pray. You could also come to Grow Track. 9 a.m. In the hall back there. Sorry, I'm still getting to know this place. It's back there. There's a week where we help you with your spiritual gifts to find out how you can use those. See, when you put God first, then your prayers are different. When you put God first, your prayers are bigger than yourself. Daniel prayed for his home. He prayed for his city. He prayed for his people. We have to look at it like this. God, he will take care of our financial situation. God will take care of my future as long as I put him first in my life. The second thing is we saw that Daniel put others above himself. Daniel said in 9:18, we are righteous, but God, you are merciful. Daniel is praying for Jerusalem and the temple to be restored, and for others, not himself. In verses of chapter 9:18, it says, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city that is called by your name. That Jerusalem and the temple represented God's presence with his people. And that the 70 years of exile prophesied by Jeremiah are coming to that end. And this restoration is about to happen, and Daniel is praying that God would be merciful to his people by restoring the city, by restoring the temple, so that the relationship with God and they will be restored with God. We see that Daniel's courageous prayer was not for himself. We don't read Daniel pleading to God to deliver him from Darius or from the lion's den. But in contrast, we read that Daniel courageously put others in front of his safety, in front of his comfort, by praying for the restoration by God. Because the most courageous prayers will benefit others. That we need to be praying for our family to accept the Lord, for people to come back to the Lord, for people to fill this church and watch them worship God, and for God to use us as we step out in faith and serve. A courageous prayer will benefit, but for the benefits of others. In Daniel 9:3, it says that Daniel set his face toward the Lord to make his requests by prayer and fasting. He did this because he needed an answer. When you understand the power of prayer, when you understand the power of fasting, it will change your spiritual life. I promise you this. When I got called, those were the first two things I made sure that I did. I didn't say, yeah, okay, I'll come take the position, or yeah, I'm interested. I said, hey, let me pray about it. And then I said, now I need to fast. Because I wanted to hear from the Lord. That I said, Lord, I will sacrifice everything as long as I hear your calling in my life. Because I know when I follow your calling, that it will be the right, that you will take care of everything else for me because you go before me. After we learn what Daniel prayed, we can learn how. He prayed patiently. Psychologists say that patience is the key to succeeding at your goals. A lot of people, they get impatient because they don't see results fast enough. Let me give you an example. Remember, we're in church, all right? So no lying. Who here has ever done a diet? I got to change my sermon real quick. I know I have. So let me give you a little example. What happens in a diet, right? Okay, so you go watch a movie with Chris Hemsworth, and then you say, man, this is what I want to start. And then you go home, you start preparing, and you start eating better, you start exercising, and you get into like a rhythm, right? And man, you're just dropping weight like fast. You're like, yeah, woo, this weight's coming off of me, I'm losing weight. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You hit a plateau. And you're like, man, I'm not losing weight anymore. And a couple weeks go by, and you worked hard at it, but yet you don't see results. And then the really discouraging part is that you're like, okay, cool. I'll even go lower on my calories, adjust a little bit, and you step back on, and you're like, what? I went up a pound. So then discouragement starts setting in, and all of a sudden now you're like, well, I'll have 3 pieces of pizza. I'm not really losing weight anyway, so you know what? It'll be all right. I'll get back on Monday. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you've quit because you stopped seeing results. And if we look in Daniel 9, it tells us that God heard his prayer, but there was a delay in answering it. While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in a vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your plea for mercy, a word went out. And I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Daniel 9, 21 through 23. When we pray, we need to understand that God hears us the first time. But there can be a delay. That God is not some genie. Often it takes time. Often we have to say, Lord, what needs to change? But it also helps build our faith, our trust in our Lord. There was a time in my life where I stepped away from the church. And during this time that I stepped away, I faced some dark times. But I had a praying mama. And my mom said, I will go to battle for my son, because I believe in prayer. I believe into his miraculous power that God will save my son. And there was many times where my mom invited me to church and I said, nope, I'm good. There was many times where she would say, hey, just come over. And I say, no, I'm good. My mom told me during these times that she would get woken up about 2-3 in the morning, and God would say, pray for your son. She didn't know what she was praying for, but she knew that God woke her up and that she needed to get into prayer because she had determination. There was times where my mom said, why? Nothing's even changing. I've invited him to church. I invited him to these events and he's not coming, so why should I invite him anymore? There was times where she said, I just want to quit. But she didn't allow it. My mom prayed for 10 years that her son would come to know Jesus Christ again. 10 years. But what I love about this story is that she said, he taught me so much through this time. There was a time when she was walking and she said, Lord, why aren't you doing this? And he said, because you're getting in the way. He said, there's 2 of us in this ring and you need to get out and let me take over and fight this battle. Those were those moments where it woke her up and she was doing it in flesh. And not allowing the Holy Spirit to move in her life. Not allowing God to direct it. Shortly after that is when I came back to Christ. And I tell you this because there's some of you out there right now that are praying and have been praying for your spouse to know the Lord. There's many of you out there that are praying for your child, and they're praying for your friends, your uncle, your auntie, whatever it is. Keep praying. God heard you the first time. Some of you are praying for direction and God seems silent. Keep praying. Have him number one in your life and trust. Because courageous prayers, they don't give up because there's a delay of a day. They don't give up because there's a delay of a decade. That courageous prayers keep going up to heaven every day, trusting that God heard you the first time, but trusting that his timing is perfect. The next thing we see how he prayed is he prayed with determination. Daniel's determination caused him to be placed in the lion's den. That's pretty good determination. That he said, no, I will pray three times a day, but I don't care. In 6:16, it says, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the lion den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. What lions are you facing right now? And let me ask you, as you think about this just by yourself, what you're facing, let me ask you, does this push you closer to God or does it push you away? Because I've been to the away part where I'm paralyzed, where I'm saying, Lord, I can't even pray right now. Because this task that is in front of me just seems too big. Been there? I have. But I've learned that as problems come, when I run to Christ, there is my peace, there is my joy, there is my comfort. That when trials come, I should be happy that I get to run to God and say, God, here it is. And now I surrender to you, that you will carry me, that you will sustain me through this burden. The third thing is he prayed through setbacks. I'm pretty sure that Daniel might have felt being thrown into the lion's den was a pretty major setback. I don't know about you, if I get thrown in the lion's den, I'm going to say, yeah, this seems like a little setback. But he also had a setback because if you read in 6:3, it says, then Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Remember what we talked about in the beginning. This right here was Darius making him the number two. So I'm sure Daniel's like, whew, like, this is my answer. This right here is going to be my answer, that this king is going to allow my people to go home. But you look in verse 4, and it says, all the other high officials, paraphrased, they got jealous. They got upset that Daniel was going to be placed. And so they considered and they plotted against him so that he will be executed in front of the lions. That's a setback. We need to understand when we pray to God with courage, we need to be determined, patient, faithful, and you need to prepare yourself for setbacks. Because the enemy uses setbacks to keep you from experiencing the reward of a courageous prayer. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but rulers of darkness. So what is this telling me? That Satan doesn't want me praying for my family. Satan doesn't want me praying for my friends. Satan doesn't want me to pray for my church. And he will create the setbacks to try to get me from doing that. Don't let setbacks stop you. When we set our goal to pray to our neighbors for our loved one's salvation, you're going to need to be patient. You'll need to be determined. Why? Because your schedule and your time will be in demand. That your goals, your personal goals that you set are going to get in the way. other things are going to get in the way and ask for your time, but you must stay determined and you must keep what priority you set out and pray for them. You may have setbacks that feel like failure and or defeat. I'm sure Daniel felt like this at the end. 60 years, three kings, and it ends like this. Maybe today you're feeling that same way. Stay the course. Pray courageously. Have patience, determination. The last thing we see is why Daniel prayed. First thing is he accepted the responsibility. I'm sure Daniel asked himself, if not me, then who? If you do not take responsibility and set your goals this year, nobody else will. No one will make you eat right. No one's going to make you save money. No one's going to go make you exercise. No one else is going to set your spiritual goals for you. And what we see from Daniel is that he resisted apathy. And he made this courageous decision to do something about the captivity and the sin of Israel and their restoration. No missionary is going to be sent to your home, to your work, to your school. You're it. Daniel didn't say, let someone else pray, but he took the responsibility. And just like Daniel, we must take that responsibility to pray over our friends, to pray over our family, to be praying over our church. That's a courageous prayer. Because there's people out there in this world that have nobody praying for them. They don't have a mama praying for them. They don't have a father praying for them. They don't have a grandma praying for them. They don't have a grandpa praying for them. You are it. You are the only person that's maybe praying for these people. They have nobody. When we look at it like that, it's our responsibility to stand in the gap for that hurting world out there. And by us doing that, when we have that courageous prayer, we say, Lord, I want them to experience God's mercy, His grace, but I want them to experience His love. The other thing we see is that the risk was worth it. Daniel's courageous prayer changed King Darius from requiring of himself to having the whole kingdom give glory to God. In verses 6, 25 through 26, it says, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. In 2020, know that the risk is worth it.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.